Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5. Preacher, pastor, I think he's preaching this Sunday. He mentioned it the last time he was here, I believe Sunday night. The pastor that pastored him for at least 2 years here in Evans, he's going to be preaching for him. What a reunion that would be. I'm sure he's going to talk about that. That's going to be great for him. And pray for them that they don't get sick. A lot of times when you go on vacation, sometimes sickness follows you there. So I pray that that doesn't happen for them and that they enjoy that. Thank you for your patience with the situation out here. And that's going to be good. We got 3 drains now. So hopefully that will help the parking lot. And hopefully, let's pray for a speedy pavement, that they'll pave it right away, you know? So pray for that. So Galatians chapter number 5, very, very simple message tonight, something that we probably have heard many a times, but just a cause of reminding. And let's dive into it. Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 22. Did I miss anything in an announcement? It seems like I went at it really fast. Anybody have an announcement I'm missing? Anybody want to give money away? I gotcha. All right, let's talk after the service. There, brother. Great. That's awesome. Anybody want to look at that on Sunday night? We all stay here anyways. Nobody leaves. It's a good sign, by the way. That's a family. Stick around, right? In the back, if you want to take a moosey out there, hopefully we get out of here soon. If you want to go in the back there, they got it all enclosed. The windows are put in. The sidings of the one that we're going to close in there. We're going to put a gutter and a couple of things like that. It's not completely done, but it's looking really good back there if you want to mosey on there and look at it. And we're going to enjoy that, hopefully, on our anniversary. All right? That's the goal, right? The anniversary meal that we have. So pray for that. Galatians chapter number 5, I'm still not there. Anybody else maybe have a quick word of testimony? Galatians chapter 5, we did really good. I mean, we're going to get done out of here fast. Galatians chapter number 5. It's in the New Testament. I can't believe this. We're in trouble. There it is. There it is. I don't know why. I'm so nervous right now. I'm very scared. Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 22. Are you there? Are you there? All right, because if you're not there, you're over there somewhere. It's not good. But the fruit of the Spirit, capital S, is love, number one, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Can't put a law to stop you from doing these things. This is something that should come out of you as a Christian, because the Bible says in our dispensation, in our time, when we accept Jesus Christ, he indwells us in the form of the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost lives inside of us. We have all the ingredients we need to produce his fruit in us. He himself is in us. All we have to do is yield. But that is the hardest thing to do in a Christian life. I have children. And it's funny, the Lord calls us all children. There's never a time where we are not his children. And as having children, guess what you find really quick? Everybody has a way they want things done. Everybody has a will. And yielding is simply saying, I am not going to do it my way. I don't have to have it the way I want to. I will let you dictate that, and I will give control over that in my life. But yet, that's the hardest thing to do in all of Christianity. You know how I know that? Because we all still struggle. And sometimes they're minute things that we're giving up. Minute things. It's not going to mean a hill of beans later. And we still have a problem with it. You understand? I had to deal with Elizabeth I didn't deal with her. But I'm in trouble. It's the Cebuano. May problema ganiha ba? Okay, that helps me say it now. There was a problem earlier and with the children, and I'm not going to do it for the sake of my children. They're troopers. As a pastor's kids, you get used a lot, so I'm not going to try to do that. But they were exerting their will, right? And as a parent, the hardest thing to do is this. You have to tell them, no, this is not the way it's going to be. This is the way it should be. And it's not fun when they don't cooperate right away, when they buck it. And you give them reason, and you give them all the logical explanations that they need to have to acquire your point of view, but yet they still say, no, I just don't want to do it like that. And then you have to do what you have to do as the authority. God is so smart to set up authority. Because, have you noticed, it'll be chaotic if everybody gets their way. If I ask you what you really think of this postcard, I can guarantee you if I had it in a vote or in a way where you read it up, there would be so much opinion on just this page. There's no way that you can totally get everybody on that same page that that's actually a good thing to pass out. They'll have an opinion about it. And America is a land of free speech. And Pastor talked about this in one of the sermons that he preached, I think Sunday morning. But yet in that, we are free to give our opinions. And I'm having a hard time with that. Because the Philippines, they have opinions. No, Brad? It's not that they don't have opinions, as they do, but they don't readily say it to you. What they do is they go around you and tell everybody else. But everybody has an opinion, and it's the hardest thing to do in the Christian life is to say to God, God, this is the way I want it. I'd be happy with you, God, as long as you do it this way. If you don't do it this way, God, man, I'm going to have a hard time with this. But somebody has to be the authority, and it's God. He has to be the one to tell us this is the final decision, right? He lets us talk. That's why we have a prayer list over there. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. But God is going to finally tell you, okay, this is it. And you know what? It is hard for us to say yes, sir, with a good spirit. If you would admit to me, you even today struggle. Correct? I do. When my wife says, it's hard to say, and she's logical about it too. She makes sense. It was just right on. It's just my flesh saying, no, I don't want it. But she still gets me. And the Holy Spirit works in my heart and says, she's right. Now, guess what? She does it too when I'm right and tell her, no, this is the way we're going to do it. Well, nope, this is the way. You know it, dear. And she'd say, yes, I know. I know. But it's just hard for us to do that. And so I'm going to talk about something that's hard to do. It's easy to talk about, but it's hard to do. And the title of the message this evening is Love as Brethren. Love as Brethren. There's a special bond Faith Bible Baptist Church members should have. I think on the tally, if we got it all right, okay? Because I know when you're 18 years old, that's when you become a bona fide member. That's when you're voted in. That's when we all say amen, amen. And those that are same time, that's when we do that part, right? It's when you turn 18. And I thank you, by the way, because you're going to vote on me to be your pastor. You decided to make me a member. I appreciate that. Retro back when I was 18. So we have a lot of young people that's coming to church. There's a lot of children, and there's a lot of teenagers that are not bona fide member, but I just got a roster because I pray for them. I got a roster today. We have now currently 90 bona fide member of Faith Bible Baptist Church. What's that mean? That means you're a member here. That means you said, this is the church where I feel God's leading me to belong. And that means I have a duty to these people. I have a commitment to be their brother here in this local place. Okay? We're a brother to everybody that's saved around the world. That's not a problem. But there's a special bond in our church. I want to highlight that today. Love us, brethren, at FBBC. Because this is where we go to church. Okay, some of us are helping in different church plants. That's great. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for that. We need that. And it's producing some new people coming. I think of Brightway Baptist Church. There's people there that would not have been there if we did not start. I think of Josh. I think of, what's the other one there, sis? Okay, Summer, Rachel. We think of Countryside. There's people, yes, from our church going there to minister, but yet if they didn't go, we would not have the abundance of the people we currently have coming on Thursday night, and I met some of them. So pretty neat things. And we help establish Hilltop Baptist Church, and I'm going to go there, and I go there occasionally. They have new people there I've never met before because of our church. So let's look at these churches as maybe a church that we help start. Yes, that's great. Praise the Lord. And there's several of us. I think Brother Calvin goes to Countryside. Brother Jake goes to Countryside. Miss Lori. Other people go to Countryside. Brother Joe. Brother Broughton. And the Bucos go to Brightway. So a lot of people are moving back and forth. But tonight I want to talk to us that are from Faith Bible Baptist Church. This is our church. We need to love as brethren here. Okay, here. Because it's one of the byproduct of being saved. Okay? We talked about last Sunday, I think Sunday school, if there was a semi-truck that hit you and you come up to me unaltered, I mean, you're just like, you're still looking like you, something is wrong with the semi-truck that hit you. Okay? And God is so big that if he encountered and met up with us, we will change. Okay, it's a very bad analogy, but you can kind of get it, okay? And so part of him meeting with us, then he gives us the Spirit, and that Spirit gives us the product of love. And the Bible speaks of love the whole world, okay? The Bible talks about that. But I want to be specific to the local church where we belong. So it's a little bit personal tonight. It's personal for us. Those that are watching, if you're part of a church, you love the people in your church. And you love us when you see us. Leave good comments. Love and like are best accepted. Anyways, so look at 2 Peter 1, 3 to 10. Look at 2 Peter chapter number 1, verses 3 to 10. The Bible says, pause here. That's what I was remembering. Brother Antonio is here with us. He was here last week. He's in around the area just for a couple months in the U.S., just thanking the people that supported him. So after the service, I'm going to try to be very quick tonight. After we're done today and we do our normal prayer in the end of the service, we're going to show a presentation that he brought tonight. And I'll get him up here to say a couple of words of thank you, basically, for what your mission money and prayer have done there in Cambodia. And praise the Lord, I was able to see that building that he's going to show. So we'll do that. Don't leave right away after the service, okay? We'll do that right away. It's already prepped and ready, all right? Right, Mrs. Barron? My mother. Sorry, babe. Wow, there's two Mrs. Barron. Whew, that's scary. Anyways, 2 Peter 1, 3 to 10. According as his divine power, so where's the source? Where is the source of this fruit? God. If you don't have the Spirit, you will not have the love as brethren we're talking about. Where is the divine power that is being referred to? Where do you get the source for you to love? From yourself? All of us can love. A human love. But we're not talking about human love. We want to extend that love And we want to get the love that God has, his love, birthed in us and produced in us by the Spirit of God. How does it happen? By his divine power, which was what? Given to us already. We already have it. Like I said, the Holy Ghost is already here. He was a promise. He was a grace giver. And grace, another word for that means what? Enablement. Am I too loud for everybody? I can be if you want me to. Sorry about Sunday night. I'm going to talk, right? I just lost it. Forgive me for doing that. And I feel bad for those people. But anyways, I hope they come back. A lot of you covered up for me. I didn't hear what Pastor, I watched it online. I heard Pastor, he's going to be fine. And Rachel and talked to the people and said, he's just crazy sometimes. He'll be fine. So thank you for your covering up. That's what families do, cover up. All right? It works. Okay? It works. Okay. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Remember, the Holy Ghost was a promise. That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Salvation is a gift of eternal life. That's just a side product. Because where does God eternally dwells? In the glories of heaven. That's why, as his children, it just happens that's where we're going to spend our eternity. Okay, it's a sideline byproduct. It's a side note. What is the gift of the salvation it gives us? It gives us access to the Almighty God. That's the blessing of salvation. More than the byproduct of just simply being with him for eternity. The real nugget of truth and the real gold nugget about salvation is the fact I am related to God. I am related to God. He is now my kinsman. Hey, walk around and say, I'm related to God. They'll look at you like you're weird. But they will say, what do you mean? Gospel story. Here it comes, right? Do it. We get to partake in the person of God. We get to enjoy being in his presence, but more than that, being in his person and him being in us. We get to know him, the all-knowing God. Have you had some strange question to ask him? I have a few. Like, did Adam and Eve really have a belly button or not? That doesn't important to you. I don't care. It's important to me. Okay? Verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Now, I'm going to give you something of a truth here. Christianity is free. It starts free. Jesus died. But just because it's free, it doesn't mean it's cheap. All right? Just because it's free, it doesn't mean it's cheap. Because the purchaser is God. And his price was his own life. His blood that was shed for us. And then it says right here, when you get something of that magnitude, if you are given a gift of that magnitude and you realize how important that gift is, it is valuable. If I give you something so valuable today, would you carelessly take care of it or would you probably put utmost care? Is what would you do? So let me give you the salvation that God has given us. No one can give it to you except him. There is no one else that can give you equivalent to the gift that God gave you of salvation. May I say the gift you have is very, very, very valuable. So let's care for it. Let's take care of it. And let's say, wow, I got something so unique. I can't get it any other way but through him. He's the only one that gave it to me. And as we have that, we will exercise caution, and it will help us, like the Bible says, it will constrain us. The love now we have for God will constrain us to now do what? Service.
Because when I'm talking about love as brethren, guess what I'm going to ask you to do? Work. I'm going to ask you to work. Love is work. Can I say that? Love is work. It is free to you that are receiving it. But it took a lot of effort for the one that gave it to you. For you to love another person, it will require of you more than the person receiving it from you. It doesn't change. So when you say, I love someone, you're going to do things for them that you would not otherwise do. But because you have love, it will constrain you into action, and you will do things above and beyond. And God says, if you're going to love me, I want you to include those of your family, meaning spiritually. Love your brethren. Love your brethren. Let's continue here on 2 Peter. It says, and beside this, giving all diligence. That's where you find the word diligence. It takes time. It takes effort. Is it easier to say just what comes into your head? Or is it a lot harder to think about what you say before you say it? It'll take some time to say careful things rather than careless things. Look at what it says right here. Verse number 6. Oh, let me finish verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness. Kindness is not enough. Brotherly kindness. Charity. I don't have to read 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. Most of us know what 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. Isn't that very selfless? If you see the description of love in the book of 1 Corinthians 13, if you read the description of what real love is, Bible love, you find it's going to cost. It's going to take something out of you. It's going to take time. It's going to take some of your resources. It's going to take some of your life. Have you ever raised a child? Did not take some of your life? If you love children and you raise your children, did it not take some from you to do that? Picture of love. So to love each other in this building, or those that are not here because they're out of town or they're sick, they're not able to be here physically, but as a church family here at Faith Bible Baptist Church in Eden, New York, we have to give sacrificially in order to fulfill what God says, love as brethren. Why? Because God wants to use our obedience of loving each other as a tool to see souls saved. And I'll prove that to you from the scripture. You know it's important, Faith Bible Baptist Church members, to love one another. Because God promises if he sees that you're doing that, the lost world sees that's happening, and some of them will come to know God because of your love one for another. Okay? Our relationship is important with one another. We don't just come to church together. We are brothers and sisters. All right? Look at this. It continues right there, but I won't, for the sake of time. Verse number 8. For if these things be in you and abound, look at the verse, they make you that ye shall neither be barren, not that barren over there. I'm just copying pastor. It sounded fun. Nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you will not lack the knowledge. You will get something out of your Bible if you learn to love one another as brethren. Well, I'm not getting anything out of the Bible. Start loving your sister. Start loving your brother in church. Let me read the promise again. Because maybe you didn't get it. I'm going to get it to you again. Verse number 8. For if these things be in you and abound, that ye make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, Verse number 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, what an endearing terminology the Bible uses amongst us, brethren. It's a special word. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fail. You will be fruitful. And you will not fail. Fail in what? In giving God glory. In being used to give God the glory he deserves. That's why we're here on this planet. To give God the glory he deserves. All right? Did we pray? Anybody paying attention? Let's pray. Lord, we come to you tonight. We ask that you bless in Jesus' name. Amen. For those that are involved in brotherly love, I want to encourage you to please continue. If you are engaged in this, you have a structured way you do this. You have almsgiving as part of your budget. Praise the Lord. Keep doing it. That's one way you can love practically. It's one say, well, I'm going to love you. Then let's make it practical. Let's make it applicable. Okay? We know the truth to love one another. Now let's get some very, very basic truths, three ways tonight I'm going to give you to start with, three ways we can do right now. When I say amen, when we're done, you can do right away to each other at Faith Bible Baptist Church. Okay? And so we'll do that, okay? Number one, let's pray for one another. Okay? It seems like, well, we do that. Let's go Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. When you pray, remember Pastor hits this very good on his prayer 101, and I found them. They're over there. There's a prayer 101. If you don't know what I'm talking about, Pastor wrote a booklet on prayer. Prayer 101. It's right there on that building where we go out there for the lift. You'll see it right there to the right. It's by the political science he's got there. He's got it over there. And he talks about two different aspects of prayer. I mentioned it last time when I talked about prayer. One is a prayer time, when you set a time to pray. And then another thing is called a prayer life, which culminates into this attitude. When it talks about pray without ceasing, meaning you're in an attitude of prayer. In an attitude of prayer. Why can we do that as Christians? Because we worship God that is in spirit. And he's omniscient. That means he's everywhere at the same time. Guys, I don't want to be weird at you here, but if I go out to the woods and nobody's around, God is with me. I can talk to him there. If I go out there on the lake and I want to go fishing by myself in pitch darkness, God can be with me there. Okay? Because that's the way he set it up. So in an attitude of prayer, I don't care where you are. You can be under the bed. You can be on top of the bed. You can be in your attic. You could be in the basement. You could be in the bathroom. You could be cooking. You could be driving. You can be in an attitude of prayer. You can constantly in your mind, culminating in your mind, God, you're here. We're going about to eat this biscuit you provided for us. You are in his presence. You can do that consciously. Consciously, you can do that. You can keep him in your mind everywhere you go. And it's a practice we all should be doing as a Christian. It's a prayer life, a prayer attitude. Okay? Look at this, Ephesians 6 and verse number 18. After the armor of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, capital S, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Why do I pray to our roster of members? Because that's one practical way I can get everybody prayed for at Faith Bible Baptist Church. Pastor makes it very practical for us. I don't know any church that does what we do when it comes to prayer calendars. I mean, we know all of our representatives and senators. I don't know who does that anywhere. I've been in a lot of churches as a missionary, and I've never seen that done. Where we got all of our missionaries splattered in there in a calendar form, and you can pray for them systematically. Now, you say, I don't want to do that. Well, don't. But don't knock that off. That somebody's trying to do that. A few of us are trying to pray. I don't pray with it all the time. I can. There's thick. It's thick like this. If you pile it on, and then he gives us all the prayer things for our children. I'm like, I can spend a whole decade on those. Then all the countries that are close, he puts it all in there for us. He doesn't know he's not really going to rest when he's resigned. Hey, pastor, can you do this? I don't have to reinvent anything. He's got a lot of things done. I'm just going to emphasize some things, right? The neat thing about what we have at church is we have a lot of practical ways to do things. And so let us be there. Let us try it. Okay, let us do this. Let us pray for one another. We got a prayer list over there. You know, you're not a habit of putting it over there. I understand. But put something in there. Put your name and says unspoken. Okay? That's the easiest thing to pray for. Guys, I count it. 2, 3, 4, 5. Guys, there's in our churches, there's 10 unspoken. Just answer all of these. I don't know what it is. You know? 1 Timothy 2:1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Okay? Pray for one another. Quickly. Give to one another. Give to one another. Give to one another. Philippians chapter number 2, verses 1 to 4. Philippians chapter number 2, verses 1 to 4. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any vows and mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. It gives us there the thought of, let's care for our other church members. They need something, and God, let God maybe work in your heart to say, hey, I have extra. I see that they need this. They never asked, but I may go over there and give them this because God said so. All right? And I think some of us do that here, if not all of us. If not, we should. We should get involved in looking around and helping who we can in our church family. All right? We need to not just worry about ourselves. Now we have a family to worry about, right? When I was single, I only cared for myself. But now that I'm married, oh, I have to feed her. Kissing won't do it. Doesn't get her filled up. She needs more than kissing. And now I have 4 children. You know, they eat. Right? They eat. So I have to take care of them. We are a family now. That means we affect each other. That means if some of us are sad, some of our family will be sad with us. If some of us are excited, some will be excited. If some is hurting, we should all be hurting. And if by any means, if God says, hey, you have the means to help that brother right now, won't you do something about it and go help that brother? When's the last time God led you to help a brother in the church? Right? In our church. Okay? Let's cultivate this relationship of giving to one another. It should be something very natural to give to each other in the church. Give a present. Once in a while, blow them away. Give them a present. They're not expecting it. Okay? Do something. Do something amongst us to generate this love because God says give to one another. Acts chapter number 2, 41 to 47. I don't have time to read the whole thing, but it's a very good verse. Let me give you verse number 46. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. Whoa, there's a promise here. With all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily as should be added. There was favor. People thought it'd be favorable when this group of people seemingly enjoy each other's company. When the lost, they're talking about the people here that was added, they were lost. They were watching this group of people that were saved and how they had this wonderful relationship and how they loved each other in the form of that they gave to each other. Okay? Let's make an emphasis of doing that to one another. Let's give when we can give. Let's do something when God says do it. When God leads us, let us be that way. Once in a while, it'd be good for you to have a $20 bill. I'm not saying this is gospel truth. This is not something that if you don't do this, you're against the Bible. But it's a practical way. If you have a $20 bill that doesn't go to anything, once in a while, look at somebody in the church and say, hey, I'm just going to shake his hand and give it to him. And say, hey, praying for you. Well, what's $20 bills? Hey, that's half a tank. Well, no, let's not have a tank. If you're driving my car, it's not have a tank. I need three of you to do that. Then I'll get filled up. Let us love one another. Let us show it in the form of giving. Give compliments for crying out loud. It's not that hard. Give a compliment once in a while for crying out loud. Yes, everything's wrong. The whole world's a mess. So why highlight it? Why highlight it? Go on the dunghill and say, hey, there's a nice rose growing out of that dunghill. Talk about the rose. I'm not saying be blind. I'm not saying be abused. I'm not saying be taken advantage of. I'm just saying, come on, let's use some of our minds here and let's give somebody an honest compliment. Hey, Sean, that's a nice purple shirt you got on. That's not hard to do. Look at it, Brother Antonio's wearing the same thing. So it's great. Who else got purple on the sign? All right. Be pleasant. Oh, Miss Susan's got purple on. A lot of people got purple on today. Be complimentary. Learn to compliment. Americans, we need it. Guess what? We are spoiled. We always get it our way. We buy, it has to be our way. Go to the restaurant, better be cooked the way I want it cooked. Once in a while, blow somebody away and give them a big tip. Give them a $30 tip. They don't deserve it. No, absolutely not. But give it to them once in a while and put a gospel track with it. And be the biggest smile. You know, you probably had a harp. Well, don't say that because they're going to get mad at you. But be tactful. That's why I married Elizabeth, because she helps me with being tactful. Babe, I know you're trying to be nice, but the way you said that was not nice. So she helps me with that. Give a smile, won't you? And not a sarcastic one. There's a time and place for that, okay? But give a smile and genuinely smile. Wave at people. Give. We should be Christians that welcoming, kind, learn amongst the church. How you doing? Hi. Hey, I heard you went on a trip. I hope it was great. Text them. I know you're on vacation. I texted Pastor today. I said, hope you're enjoying your day. Right? Do something like that. Just try to compliment. Give out compliments. Be kind. Number three, and we're going to be done. This is the hard one. Serve one another. I preached this. I think Brother Antonio was there. I preached this message kind of different now. It's coming out different. But I preached there at Yorkshire. And I'm going to hit something here. Let me give you Galatians 5, 13 to 15. For brethren, ye have not been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Galatians 5, 13 to 15. But by love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. This guy was a preacher. Because his one word is a phrase. He says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's he said. That's one word. Okay? But if you bite, ooh, who's a biter out there? You know little babies bite? But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one another. It's almost like sarcastic here. God's saying, hey, if you're biting each other, pretty soon there'll be none of you. Let's make an analogy. What happens if we're all cranky and grumpy and mean? You think there'll be many people in this place? We'll run them all off. Let's just be loving, warm and loving. We don't have to tolerate sin. We don't have to have no standards on what God says is wrong. But we can do it kindly. We can do it in love. We can speak the truth in love. We can be firm, say, no, this is where it is. This is where the line is. We love you, but if you're not going to be in this line, well, can't fellowship because we don't agree, and we want to be Bible believers. All right? Okay. 1 Peter 3:8-9. Finally, be of all one mind. 1 Peter 3:8-9. Having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Let me give you the last verses we're going to read and we're done tonight. John chapter number 13 and verse number 30-35. Let me read you this. We're trying to get the lost world saved. We can do it this way. One of the ways we can do it is to show them that we love each other. It's to show them that we love each other. In Acts, the Bible says that the church had a favor with the people. We want to be favorable. Why? Because then we can influence. We don't want to be favorable so that we can be famous, so that we can be better than everybody else, so that we can toot our own horn. That's not the idea. Is we want to be favorable so we have their listening ear, so we can talk to them about something important, so we can share to them about the Lord Jesus Christ and how he can save them. A lot of times we are the turn off for the gospel. We should not be the turn off for the gospel. We should be a channel so that the gospel of Jesus Christ can flow through us. We should not be hindering them from getting saved because of our meanness, our grumpiness for no reason, our mean-spiritedness. Why are we that way? I'm not saying tolerate sin. Okay, please. The Bible says don't use your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying you be like them so you don't ever offend them. But you can be a decent, civil person. If you have disagreement, talk civilly and fix the problem. Don't act like children. You know how I know when you act like children? Because I have children. You know when I tell them to fix the problem, what is it getting done? It's not getting done. They're fighting. They're not listening to each other. And they go away like that person killed or somebody that they love. I don't know. It's like so bad. I'm like, what's wrong? Sit down. Talk to each other the differences of your opinion. And guys, we're not the most important people in the world. And our opinion doesn't mean it has to be worth that much. Okay? I want different color seats. So. 100 people does, and none of them is the same color. So why do we get mad about those things? Make children get upset. Well, learn to figure it out where you can compromise in this way, where you get some and you get some. Right? Civil. Right? We love each other. We have to live in the same house. Let's love one another. Some ways, you're going to get it your way. Some days, you're not going to get it your way. It's okay. It's okay. God doesn't get it any day his way. Right? But he's loving. He's patient. He said, I'll work with you. Look at what it says. Verse 31. Therefore, when he is gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. Let me skip verse number 34. A new commandment I give unto you, John chapter number 13, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. A new person, let's say, just walks into this door and they see us fellowshipping. They see us cutting up. They see us loving. They see us seemingly have a good spirit. Is that going to be a turnoff? It might not. It might be something that they feel like, wow. You know, it might be something they would like. It might be favorable. God says the Bible is an offense. The truth of God's word is offensive. Okay? But God says, be careful that we are not the cause of the offense. Our personality, our preferences, our like and dislike. That should not matter when we're giving the gospel out. Okay? We should, what? Pray, give, and serve one another. It'll take humility, and it'll take you not getting what you want. Ooh, that's the hardest thing, right? I want what I want. Well, you can't if you want to serve. And then we have a world right now that is conditioned to get what they want. They've been taught from a very young age all the way to now. Nobody tells them no. They just tell them, oh, you want that? Okay, we'll give it to you. Oh, you want that? Okay, the government will provide that. Oh, you want that? Okay, we'll figure out how to get that to you. We'll get there. Oh, you don't want to work? You don't want to work? Okay, you don't want to work at all. Okay, but we still want to make money. Okay, well, the government will subsidize. And so we have that culture in us, so we have to be careful. As Christians, it's going to be harder to serve. Like Pastor said, he doesn't like ingrates. But in order to minister in our life, in our day and age, I'm not saying everybody's this way, but there's an atmosphere of what? I want it my way. So you're going to give them the gospel. It's going to take a lot of your humility. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we come to you today and thanking you, Lord, for your word. I pray, this is simple things, but I pray that the Holy Spirit will help us to do them. Help us to pray for one another. Help us to give to one another. And help us to serve one another. And as we play a song, here, as we stand up, and as we pick up our hymn book here, we'll sing a song.